Micheál Martin, Tánaiste and Minister for Foreign Affairs, is here with us, and a very good morning to you. And we're listening to Audrey there talking about those changes in Northern Ireland. The Paisley dynasty gone at this stage. Gregory Campbell holding on in East Derry, but chased on his tailcoats up to half an hour ago by Sinn Féin. What's your reaction to what we've seen in the last few hours across Britain and in Northern Ireland as well?
Well, first of all, I congratulate Keir Starmer and the British Labour Party on a very emphatic victory in terms of seats and so forth, a huge majority. I think that does present an opportunity to reset British-Irish relationships. For that, there is no doubt. Because in recent times, our sense was that the previous Conservative government, even though it had improved under Rishi Sunak, didn't really embrace the spirit of the Good Friday Agreement and the sense of both governments being co-anchors. I mean, it was okay in terms of the engagement and so forth, but not at the level that I would have previously experienced in different governments in terms of that sense of two governments co-anchoring the Good Friday Agreement and having a very strong relationship. That wasn't the case over the last 4 years, and it was quite inconsistent. And I think Brexit had a particular impact on Northern Ireland and the British-Irish relationship in terms of trying to resolve, if you like, the impact of Brexit on the Good Friday Agreement in terms of trade and the trading agreement, the protocol, the Windsor Framework Agreement. It created tensions and strains, which are still playing out in the election in Northern Ireland today. And one has to really sit back and reflect, because at one level, there's a move to the centre in Northern Ireland politics. At another level, Ian Paisley losing, which is seismic, but losing to, if I use the phrase, a more hardline traditional unionist voice in the TUV, who was absolutely against any accommodation in respect of the Windsor Framework. And when you think about it in terms of people, jobs and basic economy, the Windsor Framework gives Northern Ireland a really good opportunity in terms of having access to the European Union single market and access to the British market. And the problem there is that to a certain extent, that kind of identity politics or the constitutional politics overriding the pragmatic economic realities and benefits that flow to people in Northern Ireland from the Windsor Framework Agreement and from the accommodation that has been arrived at between the European Union and the United Kingdom.
Put some more shape on that reset as you see it, because, you know, even in the last few days, Keir Starmer saying very emphatically, they're out of the EU. They're not going back. They're not going back into the custom unit. They're not going back into the single market. But he talks about renegotiating elements of the trade agreement. Is Dublin a supporter of Keir Starmer in trying to reopen something that I think the EU feels is closed, done and dusted, and not for renegotiation now?
Yeah, I mean, I've met with Keir Starmer and met with Hilary Benn as well in terms of the North, David Lammy and others. I think the European Union will be cautious, but on the other hand, will want closer relationships with the United Kingdom. The geopolitical situation in the world, the war on Ukraine, the situation in terms of, you know, an assertive Russia, China and so on. So the security political orientation aligned between the United Kingdom and Europe. So that's at one level. At another level, the UK have left the European Union. So it's not a simple sort of a la carte, we'll pick this off the shelf and can we have it, please? Ireland will support, I think, United Kingdom government efforts to get closer, get a closer and more pragmatic relationship with the EU. So on a phytosanitary,
John McGrain was talking about earlier, line by line, he said, hard negotiation.
Yeah, that would be good for Ireland and good for the UK. Anything that makes our flow of people and trade more seamless, the better. But it will be challenging, because if you look at the reform vote, unfortunately, it seems to me at one level, Brexit hasn't gone away in United Kingdom politics, or the impulses that led to the Brexit vote haven't quite gone away. And that's why Labour studiously avoided, if you like, the Brexit elephant in the room. And that's going to be problematic, I would, you know, for the future next 5 years in Britain, because it has impacted the British economy. And someone, an economist, explained to me recently, we've all had a number of shocks, countries all over Europe.
You very interestingly have been looking at the percentage shares that the parties are getting as well. We don't have the final numbers, but those shares are significant. Maybe not right now, but going forward into the next election and beyond, in terms of how reform, you know, they're not going away. They've now got bums on seats in the Commons, and how that is going to develop and evolve.
I think it will be fascinating to see how that evolves. So, because one of the reasons why Labour studiously avoided Brexit was they didn't want to reopen that and lose votes and hemorrhage votes to, you know, the red wall they lost the last time to reform. On the other hand, if you don't improve the economy, you could be in challenging times as well. And the economy is the issue in the United Kingdom. We had COVID, as I said, we had the war in Ukraine and the energy crisis, but Britain had Brexit as well. Mm. And those three factors together, I think, have created a real difficult situation for the UK economy. What will be interesting is, where do the Conservatives go? Do they go further to the right to try and shore up that vote and get it back? Or do they gravitate towards the centre? Where in the end of the day, in all politics, my own view is that the centre ground wins. That's going to be a fascinating narrative as to what influences get to dominate the Conservative Party and begin a journey back, and in what direction. And that will be of interest to us in terms of our own politics and that, but also in terms of the relationship and the British economy.
Will you expect Keir Starmer to move and move quickly on the legacy legislation, which he says he will repeal? And also, you know, his commitment to end this Rwanda deportation scheme, which hasn't actually gotten off the ground.
I think that will stabilise the situation, and I think we will get more realistic and pragmatic policy positions on migration. I think the lesson from the Conservative Party's engagement with migration, in my view, for all political parties, is you can chase that and keep promising people you're going to stop boats and you're going to do this, that and the other. And it didn't fundamentally change. Brexit didn't stop migration into the United Kingdom. It actually went up higher after Brexit. Therefore, because it's more global what's happening with migration. It is a big factor. People feel the pressure from migration. Rightly or wrongly, people are fearful, etc. But it's a global situation. We have to do more to invest in countries to improve the quality of life of people in Africa and elsewhere to enable them to live fruitful lives in their countries and end wars. Conflict and wars are driving migration. And there are lessons to be learned from how the Conservatives reacted to it. I think Keir Starmer will be more pragmatic. It will still be challenging for him. But I also think that in terms of the reset with the British Irish, he gets that we're both very important trading partners. And I think we're looking forward to, you know, in terms of fine-tuning areas at the common travel area and so on like that. We're looking forward to that.
Just finally, enhancing that. And watching the election in Britain and Northern Ireland. Does it whet your appetite for a general election here?
We just had a local and European elections and, you know, we're going to have a general election within the next 8 months.
We're going to have a budget on the 1st of October.
We will have a budget on the 1st of October and we have a Finance Act and Social Protection, Welfare Act.
And you know all of the commentary is a likely general election on the 8th or the 15th of November.
Who gave you that date, Maria?
I mean, what date are you giving
people
me?
Are speculating. I'm saying we're going full term.
Are you saying there will not be a general election this side of Christmas?
I'm saying the government will go full term and our focus now is on the budget. Which will be challenging in terms of we have a full economy, a full employment, strong economy. We don't want to overheat that economy. At the same time, people are feeling pressure because of the cost of living and so forth. So we want to try and continue to alleviate those pressures on people, but also invest in the key areas like housing and health.
Yeah. All right. Micheál Martin, Tánaiste then Minister for Foreign Affairs. Thank you very much for coming in to us. We will watch for the budget and after that, a date for a general election sometime next year, according to the Tánaiste.